Hello and welcome to Breathe In, Booze Out. Man, it seems like forever since we recorded, but this is the June edition. We're not at a brewery this time, but we're at home, so we can pour harder spirits than beer. And we're going to go ahead and kick off this show.
Well, let's introduce ourselves first.
I already know you, though.
Yeah. Hi, how are you? This is Ryan.
Eric, what have you been up to?
I feel like I've been a robot the past, like, 6 weeks between...
Dadbot?
Yeah, pretty much Dadbot. Dadbot with the dad bod.
Ooh.
There we go. No, just been busy taking care of the kid, working, trying to write from time to time.
And drinking beer.
Not as much as you think.
Yeah. What you been drinking?
Well, it's more the lack of actually drinking.
Same here.
It's funny because I've been cutting down on, like, well, trying to lose weight and everything, and yeah. I've been taking these supplements that, like, suppress your hunger, and I go to the... I'm like, man, I really want a beer. Because normally I'd have, like, a beer a night or something. Mm-hmm. And I go to the refrigerator, and I'm like, I really want a beer. And I open it, and I'm like, I don't want a beer. And close and just sit back down.
Yeah, same here. I've been, like, doing, like, one drink a week.
Well, you're going to have a lot more today.
I'm going to have system shock, so, I mean, I'm probably just going to pass out here.
Okay, yeah, so I've been doing more than one drink a week. But by comparison, pre-child to post-child...
It's
way
difference.
Less drinking, which I mean, honestly, I'm really okay with. I was probably drinking a tad too much beforehand, anyways.
Now, why are you drinking less? You're not like you're breastfeeding.
You don't know that.
There you go.
I just am. It's sort of just like the natural progression of being a parent for the first few months.
You can't get lip.
Yeah.
Trey, have you just been still in your alcoholic coma since...
In my alcoholic coma, yeah, totally. No, but I've been drinking, I guess, a lot. Like usual. Like usual. Nothing has changed.
Nothing changed here, so...
No.
So, Ryan, you brought us something that just got released.
Yeah,
you're going to take the floor because you're all about that Japanese
whiskey. Oh, the Japanese whiskey. So, I did not know it was going to be released this week. Is it this week that it got released? Suntory... Whiskey Tokyo. I don't know too much about this whiskey. I know that it's a blend of like three different distilleries that they have. The price point's really attractive. It's at $35. We've done goofed and paid a little bit more for it, but I think it's okay because it's probably going to disappear off the shelves because Japanese whiskey's hot. So people will see it, they'll grab it. So,
well, when it comes to Japanese whiskey, what is like something that... Give me like a price comparison of a year ago on something that's like probably the most shocking one.
Not even like a year ago. Maybe it's funny because I just checked my Facebook on this day. I posted something and like maybe like 3-4 years ago, Yamazaki 12 was like $54. Yamazaki 18, if you can find it, was $125.
Wow.
You know, and nowadays, the Yamazaki 12, you can find it, it's $99 or more. Nikas is really going out there. Their price point is pretty good. It's like $50-$60 for a coffee grain, or the Takatsuru, which has no age anymore, so it could be like an 8 or instead of more of a 12.
It's like a mystery box.
It's a mystery box.
You're still gonna pay the premium, but it's a mystery box.
It's still good, but there's new people in the market now with Akashi and I forget the other one, but they're like $34, $35.
Ichiro.
So I was like, not too familiar with them. We had the Akashi at your place. We didn't really have it on the recording, but I think it was it was a pretty decent whiskey. Pretty decent. I mean, for its price point, I think
that was the Iwai
was pretty decent. So I mean, for its price point, I think where we it's great. So today we are going to try the Suntory whiskey. Just got a bottle from one of our... Well, we bought a bottle from our friends over at NASA Liquor. Didn't give us one of it.
That would be nice.
But we've been sipping it before we were talking, and
I didn't sip it yet.
I haven't tried
it. Okay,
this.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Take a sip.
Even sipping it before we even talk.
Yeah, man. Just...
It's very comparable to the Iwai.
Was it?
I think so. This is a little bit stronger tasting.
A little bit stronger tasting.
More of a bite on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Iwai... because the Iwai is a little bit more mellow than this.
It is.
This one would seem good, like, if you put it in cocktails.
I would highball the shit out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For for me, and what I'm going to say is going to sound like an insult, but it's not. This actually this is like poor man's Nika.
It is. It is.
As far as like from a price point to quality comparison, yeah. for 35, that's a steal for a fifth.
Yeah,
that's really tasty. Now I have a question for you, Mr. Japanese Whiskey.
What's up?
What is the difference between Japanese whiskey and Japanese soju? Because they're aren't they basically the same thing?
A little bit, and also like the distilleries, they got their techniques from Scotland.
Okay, so they're making actual like true whiskey, yes, not taking the sake mash, yeah, and
redistilling. Exactly. Okay. And then I'm not too familiar with Nika, but I know Suntory got some of their equipment from Scotland.
It comes off very Speyside.
Yeah,
I like that.
And I know one of my favorites is like, and it's really weird because when they distill it in different heights, because Japan's very mountainous, Yamazaki is at a higher altitude, Hakushu is at a lower altitude, so you can, that's why Hakushu is smokier, and you get a little bit more of the. I don't know if I want to call it peat, because it's not peat from Scotland. It's still the smoky taste.
Well, peating is part of germination. So okay. if they're not peating it while the barley is malting, then you wouldn't be gaining.
Okay.
You wouldn't be gaining any of that. All of that is just terroir and process. Yeah. I like how it's not old, but it's not young. It's kind of in the middle. I mean, the color on it's really nice. I mean, you don't normally see that color in whiskey. You usually see that color in more like white wine, because it's really more it's really more like a hay straw.
Yeah. So I have another bottle at home, and I was looking at it at the light, and I was like, this is really light, so that makes me wonder how long it's actually been aged in the barrels.
Well, by comparison to the Yamazaki 12, I mean the Yamazaki 12 looks like a bourbon, almost.
Yeah, it's very like almost a caramel color to it.
So, sticking on the subject of Japanese whiskey, that Suntory, I'm totally getting a bottle of that. That's fabulous.
Yep.
Why is it that we've seen the price, especially on something like Yamazaki, jump so much? Because I remember, I remember this time last year, going into the summertime, Yamazaki 18. I mean, if you found it for $1.90, you were happy.
Yeah.
Yep. But when the new when the new Goody Goody off of Woodway opened up.
Oh yeah.
Back in November last year, before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, I was there not too long ago.
I was in there just getting ready for them to open up, and a guy came in, and their very first customer bought a Yamazaki 12, a Nika 12, and a Yamazaki 18, and paid like $700. Whoa. Because the Yamazaki 18 was somewhere to the tune of about $400.
That's insane. Oh, wow. That's
Is that just markup there, or is it's that actually markup the markup
and rarity now?
And rarity now.
And plus, I mean, it's Japanese whiskey is not kind of sexy, and
but Yamazaki 18. It just seems so weird to see something jump $200 in a matter of. Is it just their is it their batching? Is it the age statement?
It's batching. And then I don't think they make too many of them. We're talking about the whiskey shortage here in America, and it's even harder over in Japan.
Also because Hipster Supreme Father John Mystery, whatever, had as a please buy Japanese whiskey.
Oh, so the one where he goes, yeah, 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 and just keeps singing, and then he pours a bottle of the Suntory, drops it, and then he drinks it.
Yeah.
I was very mesmerized by that video.
Wait, I don't think I've seen that.
I will show it to you. It's great. Yeah. And, like, okay, to be honest with you, also, a lot of people, like, that's kind of, like, I guess, sexy new thing, because people are like, oh, it's Japanese. It's more exotic. It's, like, as Asians, exoticism. Eh. But I don't want to get too political.
It's just like
this.
My animes.
Yeah. I don't want to get political in here, but, like, people like start getting like, hey, this is more exotic, it's cooler, and and then they start buying it up.
Yeah.
And I mean, I actually like Japanese whiskey when I started getting into scotch, because the taste is a little different, and back then it was cheap. Yamazaki 12 was one of the cheapest single malts you can get that's comparable to scotch, and so I was like, this is great. And it was cheap. It was $54, or not $45, back in the day.
So it says that Suntory was established in 1923. Is it just now making its way to Texas, or has it been here for a while?
Suntory is like craft back in Japan.
Gotcha.
They make everything,
including Jim Beam.
They bought Jim Beam.
Did they
really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Mila Kunis, that poor girl. Yeah. She's not seen that barrel for a while.
Well, no, she's Jack Daniels.
No, she's Jim Beam.
Oh, I thought she was...
No.
Oh, never mind then.
Yeah, like, they make sodas. They, they make soap.
Jack Daniels isn't no spokespeople. They have barrels and whiskey makers do all their commercials.
Like, they make...
Spokespeople.
Suntory makes almost everything.
Maybe that's why they got soda. Venus, because she's a celebrity, you know? That's Japan true. Loves...
Maybe.
They make soda, they make the ramen, Suntory, like coffee, they make every, they're like craft. Yeah.
Wow.
It's insane, but like, yeah, I don't know when they started doing the whiskeys. I know Japanese whiskey in Japan is like, it's huge now. It's like, there's a lot more distilleries that they're making their way here. So, I mean, I like this a lot. If you can find this a good daily drinker, or, you know, just mix into a highball, it's get some.
It has a big bite.
It's a big bite that I think if you put to, which I don't know if the Japanese would like that. To be honest with you, Japanese like a little bit more. I mean, speaking for an entire country, but like I know they like put a shit ton of ice in things. They do a lot of highballs. So I mean, they might like this because it's cheaper, and then, you know, you could put it, wire it down a little bit.
On a side, Japanese note, Ryan and I don't know if Dre is, but there's a. Game developer that we're all friends on Facebook with, because I think he friends everybody.
Yeah. And he made Deadly Premonition. Sweary 65.
Sweary, yes. Yeah. So, the other day he was like, hey, I just got the okay from my doctor to drink again. And so later on he posts like these beautiful Nika bottles of like all different kinds of barrels.
And then some Glenfiddich. Is it Glenfiddich?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. But it was beautiful. And
yep.
He's like an old man, and
he's
just
an old man, and like he always says hashtag drinking. But he spells it lowercase drin, capital king. So it's drinking. Yeah. Love you, Sweary.
That's an awesome brand.
So soon we'll get into Taiwanese whiskey when Ryan brings in his entire Kavalan collection for us.
Oh my god.
If you went to Taiwan, you should have told me I could bring a bottle of Hong Kong over.
Whoa.
I actually do have a bottle of Hong Kong from a friend of mine that brought it.
Yeah, we'll do that soon.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do a Taiwanese thing. Taiwanese now is kind of like
the new Japan.
The new Japan, but it's accelerated. People are like, oh, crap, and now like Kavalans are like over $100 per bottle.
No, I saw that sherry cask one and that bourbon oak one.
That the one that I bought from Nassau Liquor maybe for $154 a year ago. It goes for $300 to $400 now. Jeez. That Vinho Barrique.
So if you want to buy stocks, buy whiskey instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Buy and sell whiskey in the market.
You know, when people realize their stocks go down, they're going to want something to drink so you can sell the whiskey.
Also, I don't know if I want to drink that Vinho Barrique because the box is so nice. It's got a blue leather box and you kind of have a little latch and it opens up. It's so pretty. It's so pretty.
Well, we're going to go ahead and shut the door on the whiskey now. Ryan, drink it up.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Watch
it. What is it? Kampai or whatever.
Kampai!
Cilantro.
Cilantro, yeah. What do you
say? Cilantro!
heathens, both of you.
So we're going to move on to our beer of the month, and it is not just one beer. It is 6 beers from one brewery.
Beers of the month.
Actually, technically 31
breweries. 31 breweries. Yeah, I know. But we have here the Beer Camp Across America from Sierra Nevada. It is a pricey 12 pack, it's $30.
Damn.
Yeah, for 12.
God.
Wow.
What?
Just, well, and you know, I don't know why I'm having sticker shock like that, because when you look at what Ballast Point's done with one of their 12 packs,
it's like 24, 25.
Well, and the many faces, the faces of Sculpin pack that you can get, where it's got regular Sculpin, grapefruit Sculpin, pineapple Sculpin, you're paying $30. I mean, it's really? 15,
I would drink the shit out of that.
Oh yeah, so would I. But I mean, I'm thinking about this $30 a 12 pack. But if they just did these out, if they did this in singles, it'd be $15 for a six.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why they got sold for $1 billion.
Yeah. That and Constellation got greedy, but that's neither here nor there.
Each one of these. So there's six in it. There's six types of beers, two of each. And the first one we're going to try is the Sweet Sunny South, which is the one made by a Southeast brewery. So each one of these beers is made by six regional breweries. Five, excuse me. Well, plus Sierra Nevada.
Well, yeah, but Sierra Nevada does all six of them. So it's... Yeah, and Sierra Nevada is only regional for the Pacific Coast and North Carolina.
But they still brew for each one of these, though. So well, yeah, five you... plus one.
I don't like your weight.
The first one we're going to try is the southeastern one, so with the six Sierra Nevada.
The five collaborative breweries are Austin Beer Works, Bayou Teche Brewing, which is out of New Orleans. No.
No, but it's in Louisiana.
They're in Louisiana. Creature Comforts, Funky Buddha, and Wicked Weed. And this
is Sierra Nevada. It says right there. It does say it.
I know it says it. I said collaborate. Never mind. God, you're gonna make me like
throw it up. God, you're gonna make me
beer nerd rage like all over this table. Yeah. So, the description on the bottle states: this rustic ale features southern twists, including corn grits, tea leaves, and plenty of sweet fruit, peaches, papaya, guava, and prickly pear for an easy drinking beer. And they are flipping like guava. Lying.
It's a really flavorful like beer. Mm-hmm. It's really aromatic, and it has those like little hints of like the tea.
I'm having massive nostalgia because this tastes like back when in the Philippines we get this little like canned orange fruit drink that's from Japan, and it is a paper top that you open and you just drink it, and it has like pulp. It's like orange, guava, and a bunch of stuff. Hmm. Yeah,
this tastes it's a really lot crazy. Like Lilikoi Kapolo from Avery.
Yeah, it does.
The tart passion fruit wheat ale that they make.
Passion fruit is probably the one based in.
Well, yeah, because you know, combination of peaches, papaya, and guava is basically passion fruit when you put it all together. Yep. This is actually kind of cool though because it comes off tart but it's not sour.
Mm-hmm.
It comes off fruity but not sweet, and it does exactly what you'd expect a table beer or a table wine to do. It hits your palate, it cleans your palate, it's gone, and all you're left is with the exhale. It's actually very well done.
I actually. Like HEB, you know how they have the singles. They did they had one of these that was singled out, and so I was like, okay, let's grab one of each. Came out way cheaper.
Yeah, just a bit.
Came out way cheaper, and so I tried each one of these already. And at my first time drinking it, I did not like the Sweet Sunny South.
Really,
like, it was my least favorite of the six.
Is it too sweet? Did you not be a fruit beer guy?
But right now that I'm drinking it, it was actually to me it was boring. When I first tried it.
Really?
How?
What? Maybe because I had something. I had Stone Cold Steve Austin's beer right before that.
Probably.
So I was probably pumped up by that.
Well, not only that, also but your palate was probably just wrecked.
Yeah, it was some hops, man.
But now that I'm drinking it again, giving it a good whiff.
I mean, this is borderline Saison as far as overall flavor. It doesn't have the body. It doesn't have the yeast.
I would love to sit in a freaking beach and drink this.
It's really tropical.
Yeah, it's tropical. Well, that was that.
Somebody shoot Jesus now.
Oh, that freaking... No, okay.
See, dang it, now it's in my head.
Jimmy Buffett, man. He's a virus that gets into your head.
If you like piña coladas...
Right, so, Eric, final thoughts on this one?
I dig it. I absolutely dig it. I can dig it. Suck up. I can dig it. On a sliding scale, 2.75 out of 5. Nice, easy. I mean, it's a lot like a really finely crafted cream ale. It's nice. It's easy. It's light. It's supposed to be forgettable. Mm. It does exactly what it says. It's supposed to do.
Yeah. I like how it's.
It's a chill. It's a very chill beer. I just want to. Like I said earlier, I just want to be on the beach and sit in freaking like lounge chair and just take in the sun and just drink this.
So it has the same effect as staycation?
Yeah, staycation. Yeah, exactly. I just want to do that and then probably take a nap afterwards.
Oh, excuse me. That was me bumping into the glass cabinet behind me.
All right. So our next one comes to us from the New England offering from Sierra Nevada in collaboration with... I'll do it again, I swear to God. Sierra Nevada in collaboration with Devil's Backbone.
Yeah.
Ooh. Which actually just got bought by AB InBev like 2 months ago. Dogfish Head.
Which I love.
Dogfish Head is so
Lawson's Finest Liquids, which I don't think I've ever had anything from them. Mm-hmm. Stouts Brewing Company, which I have had something from them. I think I actually did have their IPA and it was fabulous. And one of my personal favorites, mostly for one of their... they make an Imperial IPA called Melchior Street Trillium.
Is that the one that does the... No, they're not the peanut butter one, right?
Well, there's a lot of people that do peanut butter. So, like, Sweet Baby Jesus? Sweet Baby Jesus?
No. Never mind, then. So but I've had Trillium, and I think I was drunk when I had it, so I haven't had it then.
You need to experience it sober.
That is like a problem with like enjoying like good liquors. When you get too drunk, then you won't be able to kind of get the finer notes
to it. Yeah, you just kind of forget about everything.
Yeah, it's dangerous. That's a dangerous
So this one's made with apple.
Apple and rye. So this is called Pat Rye-Ut, or Patriot.
Ah.
Pale Ale features rye and apples alongside a hearty dose of bold American hops for a light-bodied and modern take on a recipe steeped in traditional flavors.
That is very crisp. I like this. This is
better than like apple cider.
Yeah, it doesn't have that sweetness of an apple, but you can taste the apple.
It's like biting into an apple versus this,
so
apple juice.
The last beer I want to be on the beach. This beer tastes like I want to go through like the fall with leaves turning brown.
I was going to say, like, you can have this on a hill, like a grassy hill.
Grassy hill, yep.
Grassy hill.
We're going to move somewhere. We move to the New England a little bit and just... This tastes like New England.
I've never been with someone from New England, so I don't know.
I've been in Boston and Maine, and it's nice. Oh, well, Eric's deep in thought.
I don't know
what's your take?
I don't know what I think about this, because, I mean, it's got... There's a lot going on there. And it's so with rye, I love rye whiskey and I love rye beer because it's got that natural spiciness to it.
Yep.
This just doesn't have the I mean, granted, you can. I read light bodied and I went, oh, okay, it's New England, it's rye, it's gonna be light bodied for that. No, it is actually light bodied, and it's easy, it's simple. I mean, 5.6 for alcohol. I don't know. Hold on.
So, what about your thoughts, Ray?
I enjoy it. It's really refreshing.
Not my thing.
What's your thing?
Not my thing.
For a while.
I can appreciate it for what it is, but I mean, it's not. And I mean, my score is going to be not very good on it because I just don't. Because
it's not your palate. It doesn't resonate with your palate. It resonated with mine. I actually really like this.
Yeah, there's just too much going on there for me. Okay. I mean, the apple. I like apple flavors. I'm a gigantic fan of New England dry ciders.
Yeah.
There's just none of that. I mean, I don't know what kind of apple this is because it's not a.
I see what you're saying. If it had more of a robust apple taste to it, it would be really good.
If it had more of that traditional like New England crab apple, or if it just had a little bit more body or a little more spice. I mean, it comes up short in like three of like my favorite categories for the flavors involved.
This is a basic bitch apple beer.
God damn it! I actually like.
I
this
mean, dogfish, bad dogfish head. I mean, devil's backbone, bad Trillium. I mean, this is. 1.75 stars.
It should be better.
It should be better. It should be better.
If it has those names behind it. Mm-hmm. This one, from my first experience with the with it, was one of my favorite.
Which one's this one?
The Family Values Imperial Brown Ale. Mm-hmm. Made with cocoa nibs and honey.
All right.
Oh, I'm already going to like that.
Oh, yeah. Right. No. This is with
that. Seems like the complete opposite of one.
Yeah.
Let's see who our collaborator is here.
Oh, Sierra Nevada.
Shut
the fuck up, dude. We're cursing this podcast, by the way, guys.
See, now he's doing it just because he knows it annoys me.
I know.
Half Acre Beer Company, August Shell Brewing, Dark Horse Brewing, Perennial Artesian Ales, and Sun King Brewing. I've had some stuff from Half Ale, and I've had some stuff from Dark Horse, and everything that I've had has been fabulous from them. Imperial Brown, what do we have? 8.5% alcohol.
8.5.
So this is the
brown ale.
That's strong. So this is going to be the highest ABV
actually the highest ABV.
I'd be willing to bet that Imperial IPA is going to be a little bit higher.
No, it's Imperial Session IPA.
Never mind. this rich and malty brown ale ratchets up the flavor with the use of complex roasted malts, honey, oats, and nutty Minnesota wild rice. Finished with a chocolate kick of cocoa nibs. Yeah, eight five is high. Well, no, because Buried Hatchet is technically a brown ale, and it's 8.7.
That's still good.
Yeah,
I mean, it's still up there.
It's still up there.
For a brown ale, yeah.
Cheers.
Oh, I dig the smell.
I dig the taste.
Oh man, that is fantastic. All right. I forgot about the last two beers. I'm sorry, you guys.
Oh, honey, boo-boo, child. This is beautiful.
Wow. You guys.
Oh, this is good.
You guys, this is like a hug from your mom.
That's like chocolate fudge on Christmas morning.
Oh,
oh my God, that's delicious.
This is great. This is great.
I mean, okay, so everything... Yeah. If Family Values and Patriot could have a baby, I'd be really happy because everything that I was missing
we
out
can
of
mix
the
them.
Rind.
God,
no. Everything that I was missing, like spice palette wise and body from the ripe ale, all of that's in this one. And I normally don't like cocoa nibs in my beer, but it's balanced out really well by everything else.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, you've got a ton of flavors going on here, and they're all just exceptionally balanced.
Okay.
I like it. Like, I've tasted a lot of chocolate flavored beers,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. They usually like come off really bitter to me.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah, because of that, like the strong cocoa.
Yeah, it's just really strong, but this is like, I think it's a good enough balance of like the cocoa.
I haven't had that yet. Is it good?
So y'all don't, because it's not a video podcast. Jesus just flashed Eric. I should stop. No. He showed Eric a bottle of Broken Skull IPA with Stone Cold Steve Austin's IPA.
It's so amazing.
So what do you think about this brown ale?
After I remembered the Broken Skull IPA, this is nothing. No,
you just kind of forgot everything.
This is honestly, and this is coming from a guy that really, really likes IPAs and Imperial IPAs.
Yeah, hophead, dude.
Yeah, I love this. This is so good. I could drink this right next to the fire on a bare rug, naked.
All right, so
a little far there with the naked.
Okay, so
we on the bare rug.
It's a sexy flavor.
We've come from the beach to some
grassy knoll
in New England to a bearskin rug inside a cabin next to a fire.
Well, no, it is, like she said, it's a sexy taste.
It's a sexy
taste. In the wine world, when you have a really luscious red wine, you say you're drinking velvet.
Mm.
That's the beer version of drinking velvet. It's
like,
very simple.
I would give this to my wife for Valentine's instead of chocolate dipped strawberries.
That'd be really
cool. All right, okay.
Be like, no, here. You know,
let's be honest. Honey and chocolate are one of two sexiest foods you can ingest. So let's just be real.
Yeah.
But this one does a good job of portraying the sexiness.
I feel like when you like some really bad like 70s movie music going on in the background.
Oh,
we're talking
God.
About
yeah.
this.
Guys,
no, this is that now. Okay, thank you, Beer Camp Across America for redeeming yourself on Beer 3.
All right, guys, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom with this cup real quick.
Oh, what?
Into
the cup you're drinking beer in?
Yeah.
About to say, first and foremost, that's my move, sir. How dare you control the samples?
Oh, people probably heard that.
Right. Yeah, you probably heard that pour. Did you let your mouth water right now, guys at home?
Oh, whoops, I blended
them.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Wait.
Did you actually...
I accidentally
broken
blended
skull
them.
In there?
Yeah, let's see.
I'll take that.
I haven't drank this. Home. Not bad.
Okay, wait. Wait. Oh, what, guys, what just happened? Just explain to the listeners what just happened.
Okay, what happened was that... While we were all talking about the Family Values Imperial Brown Ale, Jesus was a horrible, horrible friend and even worse host by pouring into his own cup a little bit of Broken Skull IPA, and he didn't share.
No, it wasn't Broken Skull. It was the West Latitude Session, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Were you, never mind. I think I ruined this joke or something.
You're not drunk yet. Come on, guys. I'm the Asian guy here. I should be drunk
right
now.
We're not at that level yet. Come on.
It's what you get for not sharing. See, that's karma.
Ah, man.
Ruin your own joke.
I shared this with...
You're supposed to share the stuff that's in the fridge.
You don't even have
any
good shit.
Maybe later. Hold on. But let me...
Guys, bring a beer right now. I'm gonna explain
this is
to the
really
guys.
Really good though.
All right, let's see. West all right,
let's talk about the beer.
Wait, how was that stupid blend?
That was pretty good.
It was actually pretty tasty. Ale brewed with hibiscus. Okay, you've got
you had
hibiscus. Hibiscus.
Hibiscus.
Mm, hibiscus.
Hibiscus. Mm. It's biscuits made on top of
just
in
the mood to irritate me. All right, Dre
and I can laugh at you because that's the white people. It's Jamaica, okay?
Jamaica!
It's Jamaica.
Jamaica!
No,
the hibiscus flower. Jicama. I know jicama. What jicama is. I love jicama.
Jicama is the root.
Yeah.
Hibiscus flowers, when we do them, that red drink that you get at taquerias.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
Jamaica. That's hibiscus. Jamaica is
hibiscus. Oh, that's what you're calling.
Oh, okay. I thought you.
I'm about to say.
I did not know. Okay, I said I had jicama in my blend, a smoothie the other day. It's great.
Jicama is so good. Chili powder and lemon. Oh.
All right.
This complex session rye packs impressive flavor into an easy drinking beer featuring aromatic hops, robust and earthy malts, and a touch of hibiscus for a floral and tangy finish.
It's got nose full.
Your collaborative breweries are most of my favorites. Bear Republic Brewing.
Bear Republic, yes.
Faction Brewing. Mad River Brewing. Maui Brewing. Sierra Nevada Brewing, obviously, because this one's out of California. And my absolute favorite brewery on the East on the West Coast, Magnolia Brewing Company out of San Francisco.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Which I'm willing to bet that if this is as balanced as I think it's going to be, thank you, Magnolia Brewing.
It's right. Very good.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, just a bouquet of hibiscus and rye.
Oh, that rye. The ryeness. Yeah, the ryeness I enjoyed from the second beer, the one you did not like, is actually way more. It's way better in this beer. More balanced.
More balanced. More body. More body. More depth of flavor. This is what the second beer should have been.
Yeah. I just like rye, like myself. All right, guys, because my name is Ryan. Jokes.
Oh my god! So the one that we had that I accidentally blended was a chocolate, honey, hibiscus, and rye.
Mm.
Oh, so you blended the brown. You didn't blend the broken skull?
No.
You were a son of a bee.
No, I'm not opening. Well, not yet. Not yet.
What's the ABV on this thing?
Six.
Six.
Okay. 5.5.
All right. Cool. Nice, easy drinking beer.
Wait, did you say you gave it a 5.5?
No.
Oh, okay.
I can't give it a 5.5. It's that's too many stars. Mm-hmm. I give the family values 3.75 though.
I was like joking, like when we were at Southern Door, I was like, best beer I ever had, 2.5 out of 5.
Best cream ale I've ever had. Thank you, sir. If you're going to use my words against me, use the one that I said.
There was that double too that you the Imperial.
Dude, that sexy you, Imperial IPA.
Have you had Best Buds?
I have.
Did you like it?
Not a fan.
I am.
I'm not.
We're not his best buds, guys.
I'm not a fan.
We're
I'm not
best buds right here.
That's fine. I am not a. I'm not a fan of that beer specifically. And again, it's because I can't be biased. I cannot be unbiased about Catalyst. I physically can't be unbiased about Catalyst. That's why I didn't like Best Buds.
I like Best Buds. I even like Mr. Nice Guy.
Now I like Mr. Nice Guy. Mr. Nice Guy was good. Just
God,
Best
they,
Buds.
Are
there
they
was
going
something...
for the weed thing?
Probably.
Best Buds, Mr. Sure. Nice Guy.
I mean,
I just got it. I just got it.
This makes sense.
I just got it. 420.
I'll tell you what I was really surprised at out at TBR's anniversary party was their Kolsch.
Did you try the Bourbon Barrel Aged Catalyst?
I was not there when it got tapped. I was trying
was
to be there
so
when it got
good.
Tapped.
It was so good. I asked for a crowler. They said no.
Yeah, I bet they did.
Like, I was
Are
like...
Are they running low on the beer?
They have, like, one or two kegs of it, and that's okay. It. But it was beautiful. It was... I cried.
All right.
You
right?
cried?
Yeah. I know for Eric, yeah, it dipped a little bit in the second beer, but for me, it's like a slow ramp up.
Well, the second beer, yeah.
I've actually kind of got, like, a bell curve going on.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of all over the place.
I think like the only one that brought you down was the
The only thing that I've scored under 2.5 is the Patriot.
Ooh, that's nice.
But the Patriot scored under 2. Family Values was 3.75. I gave the West Latitude 3 out of 5.
Wow, the Family Values you gave that high. Wow, great.
Well, it's just everything like it's everything wrapped up into a neat little bow that I love about brown ale. And it's
Wait,
one of those things.
He just said he gave the West Latitude 3 out of 5. That's or 3.5 out of 5, right?
No, 3 out of 5.
Oh, what was the Family Values score?
3.75.
Oh, never mind. Jeez.
Yeah, that's pretty high for Eric.
Yeah,
I've got my fair share. I've got my fair share of upper threes.
Okay,
it's hell getting a 4 out of me.
Yeah,
all right.
So what are you pouring right now?
This is going to be the. Andrea dropped it. Jeez.
No, I didn't. I just like.
I
didn't drop anything.
Oh, Imperial Session.
Imperial Session.
Oh, I gotta pour everybody a little bit more. Sorry.
This was great. What's the name of this thing?
Moxymoron.
that's really cute.
I love it.
It's adorable.
I love it.
Well, do you know why though? I did it fucking again. Shit.
Drink your beer before you go to the next one, dude.
I'm sorry. I'm in charge of like looking at the recording.
All right. Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, then let me pour. Good guy. Yes. Delegate.
That is not. The last blend was okay. This one, not so much.
All right.
Moxymoron has actually an ABV of 7.5.
Okay, second highest, yeah. I guess.
So here's the thing, Ryan. I don't know if you get the allegory in the name Moxymoron.
Yeah, Moxy is the you got some Moxy, you got some
oxymoron.
Oxymoron.
You got some chutzpah,
but it's oxymoron what they're trying to say.
Yeah. So you don't have chutzpah.
Well, how much does a session IPA usually range?
Session IPA?
About 4.5.
Yeah, that's a lower
than an Imperial Session IPA.
So, yeah. So
7.5.
That's how I got it.
Why?
I got it.
Because reasons.
Because reasons. Fuck it. Let's do it. Why not? Thank you, Drea.
Why not?
Smells great.
I like the flavor. I'm not a big fan of the body.
Yeah, it has
it's
some
very
really
light,
interesting
but
flavor.
The flavors.
Okay, so your collaborative breweries are... Balebreaker Brewing Company, Barley Brown's Beer, Black Raven Brewing Company, Melvin Brewing, Odell Brewing Company.
Odell, okay.
And Sierra Nevada. All right. Before Jesus can chime in and say, we have Sierra Nevada.
This is very light up all points.
It really is. I mean, hops are the stars in this Imperial Session IPA, brewed with intense Yakima Valley hops and featuring vivid hop aromas of citrus, berry, and bright tropical fruit. And
hey, did
they
you forget
are
to
not
mention
that? Lying. I did not. Thank you.
Okay.
You didn't hear him. He's giving you crap. This is very easy drinking for a 7.5.
That's a dangerous 7.5.
Yeah.
Good.
This is pool material for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, this is me falling in the pool and probably dying material for me. It's like, hey guys, we're trying.
Actually, real quick side note: I've been going to the pool at my apartment complex.
All right, you can bring your own.
It's
BYOB.
I'm not. Let's not say where I live or anything, but yeah, they can. They let you sneak away with cans. Not glass.
Of course.
Yeah, it's like
which is dangerous.
Which sucks because, oh no, like Memorial Weekend, they had parties out there. Mm-hmm. People were bringing glass containers and all that, and broken glass everywhere. Yeah. If you live in an apartment and they allow you to bring alcohol and they tell you no glass containers, please respect that.
Respect.
Because that sucks. We had a kid actually step on a bunch
of
glass.
Oh my god, poor kid.
No.
Tons
poor
of
kid.
Stitches and everything. Yeah, so don't bring glass containers to somewhere where actually they give you the privilege of bringing alcohol in as an adult. But anyways, when I go to the pool, when I've been going to the pool lately, Carbock Tall Boys.
Ha!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got the Hopadillo?
It's Hopadillo, Rodeo Clown, or Love Street.
Oh my god, yeah, Hopadillo, Rodeo Clown,
just
tall
two
boy.
Of those, taking them to the pool for a couple hours, magic.
All right. Yeah, I'd love to drink a Rodeo Clown next to the water. That's great.
And I mean, there's all
give me Love Street all day every day.
Love Street.
We should get into this discussion later on about people that are so snobby about only getting bottles versus cans.
Oh, okay, I don't get that.
That's an entire show.
Yeah. Okay, we'll do all that. Right, we'll do that in this other show.
Yeah, that's literally an entire show because it's more that show is more of. Hey, I'm Jesus. I'm here with Eric and Ryan. We're discussing glass versus bottles. Glass versus cans. Eric, and just shut up because I'm going to go off for like an hour on the subject. Because I have very, very few opinions in the alcohol world I am more passionate and entrenched in than the glass versus aluminum can argument. It is bad. It is awful. I can't get off of it.
Well, that's a preview for the next show, you guys.
Yeah, well, and on top of that, I'm very pro can, which makes the argument even better.
Okay.
I enjoy cans more than
you can bring cans everywhere. It's easier to dispose and it's easier to recycle. It's fine. Okay, well, we'll get that to that.
Yeah,
that'll be next year.
They're easier to cover with those fake Coke can labels that you
from
to bring them into like different places.
Easier to koozie.
How was the session IPA?
Middle of the road. 2.5
2.5
Yeah. Yeah, middle of the road. I mean, it's nothing... It's nothing that wows me, but it's also nothing that I'm disappointed with.
Yeah,
I can drink multiples of them. I mean, I could happily kick back with a six pack of just Moxymoron and do a little Rubik's Cube, and not even be bothered by the fact that 3 hours in I'm probably sideways. But
it's like you have the meat on the ground. You're like, oh, is that still grilling?
No, sir. I am Texan and German. Meat never touches the ground.
All right, there you go.
Stout of the Union.
That's a great name.
It's a great name.
Well, last one of this. I mean, I have to say it is a great selection of beers, though.
Oh no, absolutely. And, and this actually, and this doing this six bottles kind of leads me to something that I'd like to pull the table about, and just the idea of collaborative works and the amount of collaborations we see versus the amount that actually happened, but. That's for in just a second. Stout of the Union is our final beer in Beer Camp this year, in collaboration with Bagby Beer Company, Beechwood Brewing, Port Brewing Company, and or also known as the Lost Abbey, Smog City Brewing, and Societe Brewing.
I'm pretty sold on this one. I think this one's my favorite.
All right, I'm still keeping with my ramp metaphor because this is the top of the ramp.
That's like a porter with a gun. I'm serious. I mean, 7.3 alcohol. It's big. It's bold. It's robust. It's exactly what it's supposed to be. But it's not a porter. It actually is a true kind of semi-dry stout.
You can, that back end just kicks it in.
This robust stout features layers of deep malt flavors with rich roasty notes of caramel, coffee, cocoa, and dried fruit for a flavorful take on a traditional dark ale. Yeah, I'd call that true. Louder? No. Sorry, what? What was that? I can't hear you. What?
Oh, you need to grow your...
Okay. There we go.
Sorry, I was trying to tell Eric to speak up a little bit. But yeah, it's a fantastic beer. The Imperial Brown Ale still beats it?
No.
To me.
Really?
No, it doesn't.
So do you think this is the best of the batch?
I don't think it's the best of the batch. I actually still like the Sweet Sunny South better, but that's kind of where my palate is right now.
Okay.
But
the first beer.
But as far as what this is, that's fabulous.
It's like, to me, this is the most memorable one.
Really?
Yeah. This one actually leaves an impression on you. I mean, the first one, in the Sweet Sunny South and the Stout of the Union are the only two out of all six of these that really leave a
lot. Start strong and end strong. All right.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I just feel the Imperial Brown Sugar was something, or Imperial Brown Ale, excuse me, is something different to me that I don't really normally taste.
Yeah.
Or normally try. So, I mean, I do stouts every once in a while. But brown ales, especially Imperials, that's something new to my palate. So I think that's why it leaves such a footprint on mine. This follows it, followed by the Imperial Session IPA. And then after the table beer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just because of my palate and what I'm used to and everything. But I'm not saying this is a bad beer.
Oh no, you're not saying that in the least. But that's the really cool thing about Beer Camp and about just beer and whiskey in general is that there really is no wrong opinion as long as you're not trying to call a tomato a suspension bridge.
It's like let's compare Suntory whiskey, the Toki, with Jack Daniels.
Absolutely, yeah. It would be like comparing. As long as you're not trying to compare, Suntory whiskey to Bacardi rum. I mean, you're not.
It's like let's grab Mike's Hard Lemonade and compare it to
exactly.
Anything.
Mark's Hard Lemonade.
Exactly.
Oh, Bar Loco.
Real quick, it was really funny. I saw Smirnoff's new line. Like their Smirnoff Ice, whatever.
I'm giggling, guys. I'm just trying to keep down my laughter. What's up?
The packaging looks like they're hinting for like the 90s youth, because it's all full of like neon lights and stuff.
Oh my god.
It kind of looks like the Strokes logo from the early 2000s.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
And then I was like, what the hell is this? And then I pulled out the bottle, and the bottle is plastic.
Oh, gross.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
It looks like Powerade or something.
Gross.
They're going, Smirnoff Electric or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Oh, gross.
Yeah, hold on. Let me, here, yeah, hold
that's
up.
That's crazy.
Hold on.
I don't think I've seen that before.
It's
there you go. Boom.
That looks like Powerade.
Yeah.
Powerade.
That, no,
energy
dude.
Drink level right there.
That's dangerous. Kids, don't, please don't make them wrong that mistake.
Wow.
Oh, well, I'm just happy they actually have the 21 plus, like, symbol on there and like really,
yeah,
somewhat
that looks like
bold.
Really accessible.
Yeah, so you can't just a kid can't reach in. It's like, oh, this looks like a bright, colorful drink. It's
electric
sugar, like a
berry
walk.
And electric mandarin.
I'm gonna see someone at the gym like drinking those. Like, it's like, dude, that's alcohol.
And he'll pass
out. I was trying to make a Zima Ice joke.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to reach for
ice
it somewhere.
Me, you iced me, bro. I mean,
god dang it, that's still a thing.
Icing, oh, dude, absolutely, icing is still a thing.
They should be, guys, you should do that with craft beer. Then you could just spread the love of craft beer.
No.
Come on.
If you were to ice me with a craft beer, I'd actually like that.
Yeah.
The whole point of icing somebody is to make them hate you for life.
No, but you spread the love of craft beer.
Make
it's just friendly icing.
Make icing great again.
Yeah, make icing great again.
When you put icing on cake, you make icing great again.
Oh, man. Oh, so, man. Anyways, back to what we were doing. That was Sierra Nevada's Beer Camp for 2016.
So what are your favorites?
So, well, let me go on this real quick.
Okay.
I had 2015.
All right.
I was a little bit more impressed with 2015's
same.
Taking.
All right.
They had some really cool stuff, including the Hoppy Lager that came out for Beer Camp.
You told me about
not
that,
too
yeah.
Long
ago.
And the Tropical IPA.
That Tropical
that
IPA.
Tropical
oh,
IPA.
My God. That was Ballast Point and Sierra Nevada together. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing.
It's basically, it was basically a more tropical version of a Watermelon Dorado.
Yeah. So, I mean,
what was that? They just made a blowjob
motion. The stout from last year's. I forgot who was in that stout. But it was really, really delicious.
I mean, I can figure that out.
He's in Googling his Google food.
The ghouls.
Yep.
Google
food.
I'm kind of.
You're the
guys. Agent. I haven't really had. A lot of beer in a while because I'm trying to lose weight.
It's like, no,
it's hitting me really hard.
We went to a nutrition expo before this and picked up a bunch of like supplements.
Dude,
that is y'all's fault.
I honestly,
all we had was like a Nobi sandwich.
Yeah,
and then, or half or one quarter of a Nobi sandwich.
A quarter of a
yeah.
Nobi sandwich.
So and then like a meat stick, and that was it.
Yeah, I literally just this morning I had like a fruit smoothie, then I had like a coffee, and then a meat stick and a sandwich. And I haven't had like real like beer in a like a lot of beer in a long time. I'm just like, I'm gonna sit down for a while.
Well, today's cheat day, so pizza.
Pizza.
Yeah. Oh, yes! I haven't had pizza in a while.
Dave's?
I'm so excited. Huh? Whatever, I don't care. King and Papa John's, I'll eat it. I don't run like shit tomorrow, though.
I can't find the 2015 list.
Yeah, 2015 was delicious.
It was such a great lineup, too.
And for one beer camp, you would get those 12 beers. Each beer was different.
Yeah,
this time
it wasn't
get
a double up.
Yeah, you get a double up.
That's the thing about beer camp, though, is that every year the format is different. Like, the original beer camp was just one bottle. And it's evolved into the 12-pack.
But I don't complain, because it does give you a chance to try offerings from things you can't get around here.
So
My thing though is, if I'm going to pay $27, I better get 12 different beers. That's the way that I'm. That's the way that I look at it. I get that you're getting like 2 6-packs of the same beer because people were complaining last year about there being too many different beers in there. Screw those people.
Sorry, show us variety, you guys.
It's just for the money. I want as much diversity as can physically fit in a 12-pack.
Exactly.
And that diversity number is 12. I want 12
different
beers.
No, the diversity. You have 31 breweries.
Yeah, give me a 31-pack.
So here's
you think I'm joking. Give me a 31.
It's like
pack.
Austin Beer Works with their Austin Beer Works.
Austin Beer.
Austin
Beer Works with a 99-pack. No,
yeah,
I know. In all honesty, I actually would like to see Sierra Nevada do that with these beers and actually have every one of the breweries make a version, make their version again. Have Sierra Nevada make their version and actually send them out as 6-packs.
Well, collaborations are beautiful, though, no matter what.
There have been some god-awful ones, but it's still nice to see a meshing of talent.
I still have a can of Blacker that I'm saving.
That beer's getting Blacker.
Better. What's that?
The beer's getting better. That's the goofy thing. I know. Beer ought to be dead right now, and it's getting better.
So I got a question. Did you pick the order and like randomly, or was this like...
That was all Eric's. That's right me. There.
Oh, okay.
Except I switched the last two. Fifth and sixth all right. around.
Because it did flow very
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I didn't read the word session. That's yeah, that makes
it did
sense.
Flow. It flowed very well, and then so I mean, I guess you went for the lightest, the heaviest.
Actually,
thing.
Actually, thank me to. For saving yeah. it from his.
Go ahead. Thank you,
Eric.
Thank you, Ryan.
Did you enjoy this variation?
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought it was a really varied, like, you know, combination of beers in general. Like everything was different from each other. And
yeah, because there are different.
Oh yeah,
styles.
Yeah, there are different styles, but like you know. The last one was definitely the most memorable for me. And, like, the hibiscus.
Ryan, final thoughts?
I actually really liked the first beer. It was somewhat nostalgic. Like I told you, it tastes like the orange juice I used to drink as a kid. And right now, it's hot. And I kind of just want to just lounge around and drink that beer.
We should have done this outside.
Oh,
I know,
my God.
Right?
Just see which one.
I just want to listen to the ocean, just lap on the beach, and just, like, close my eyes and drink that beer. I honestly really just want to do that.
You know, I'm kind of where Ryan is on this one because the first one was also my favorite. Granted, it has it's the group of breweries that I'm also the most familiar with.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of in that nostalgia boat with him. I mean, because like you know, growing up, I grew up in a farming / business community down near the coast and. Mm-hmm. Like the big thing during the summer was making mason jar tea, and doing sun tea, and this kind of comes off, you know. Granted, minus like the actual like tea aspect of it, but I mean, just putting a whole bunch of oranges and peaches and lemons into a gigantic jar of water with some tea bags, and it just comes off very, very nostalgic.
That said, though, if we did this in January,
I'm going all over. If we did it in January, I'm all about the Imperial Brown.
Imperial Brown is actually
that's why
it's like
fireplace beer rug.
Yeah, but the stout though. Think about like winter and so, just like nice heavy beer.
The reason I didn't like the first one is because I'm Hispanic, but I wish I was born white. So no, I'm just kidding.
Shut up.
What the hell? Okay, guys.
No, I enjoyed the entire six lineup.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good to taste offerings that you normally wouldn't taste. But man, that brown ale still
brown
sticks
really
out to
good.
Me. And so, that's what I'm saying. It's because I'm not a huge fan of brown ales, but this one was just like, "Hey, fuck you, buddy. You're gonna like brown ales."
the thing that I really liked about what they did this year was instead of the collaborations being random, they kept everything geographically specific. Specific. So you got one beer from basically every brewing zone that America has right now. And
I did enjoy
it. I mean, Sierra Nevada, bravo to y'all. Now, you know, now on the flip side of that, Fat Tire wasn't part of this. Okay, never mind. No, New Belgium was part of this, weren't they?
No. But we did.
No. No.
We did,
I was going to talk about New Belgium doing Sierra Nevada dirty.
So we literally took a tour of the U.S., though, right?
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, because you would never be able to get... You couldn't have a gypsy winemaker get this many wineries to work together.
That is a little bit insane, though.
Which word were you laughing at? The gypsy or the winemaker?
The gypsy.
Okay, so hold on. There's a reason why.
Well, gypsy winemaker together just sounds
a little off.
And then you're like, he couldn't, you know, this person couldn't gypsy everyone to get every, you know.
Well, no, but like, you know, kind of like Mickler in Belgium, mm-hmm. how he's a gypsy brewer, he moves around, he does nothing.
Oh, okay.
Well,
it's
like that in Falco.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
Oh man, it's one of my favorite brewers too.
Evil Twin.
There you go.
Okay. But like oh, yeah, you, yeah. you might see this in the whiskey world. Actually, you wouldn't even see this in the whiskey world. You would see this in like the vodka or the gin world, maybe. But you would never, ever see something like this in the wine world.
Sorry, we're looking at my dog.
It looks real.
Your dog is just like, his dog is just like chilling. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. He's like, I just want to put my head down. I don't know what y'all people are talking about.
But no, I agree. This is a unique experience. I was kind of suggesting that we had this and New Belgium, but we probably would have been dead at the end of the show.
New Belgium just came out with their own version of Beer Camp called The Fat Tire and Friends.
Should we get one and then do it for the next show?
That would be pretty cool.
It's way cheaper. I mean, $15 for a 12-pack, which is kind of nice.
Should we?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, next month.
I can't handle any more drinks. Again, I'm really.
You just poured yourself a bunch of Toki.
I don't care. It's $25 and you get more.
It's like for $5 you get a bottle of whiskey versus the 12-pack.
I can get more.
If you can find it, it's probably still out. If you go to Specs, I know my local HEB actually still has Beer Camp in stock.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of Beer Camp this year.
Yeah, because last year it was like. You had to know.
Yeah, this year this year had four things happen that were really weird. Yeah, you can still find things that you can still find. You can still find Beer Camp, even though Beer Camp just came out like a month ago. You can still find Bourbon County, which is weird because you normally can't find Bourbon County.
2016.
You can still find the 16. Well, there was just a whole ton of it.
I guess I'm just gonna have to drink the bottles I have right now.
You can still in pockets. You can still find Black Crack.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was all gone.
No.
There is a Specs and Katie that has like three cases worth.
Wow. There's a gas station up off of
that'd be my Specs.
Wow.
There's a gas station up off of Riley Fuzzle and Rayford Sawdust.
I have no idea where that is.
Okay. The Woodlands has this group called Express Mart that are. Kind of like what Charles has done with the bottle shop down here for the Nobby Bottle Shop.
Oh, okay.
So they've done that with like a chain of grocery stores up there. It's a different group.
Cool.
But one of them still has, I think, 30 cases.
Wow.
A Black Crack?
Yeah.
What?
There was a ton of that stuff made this year. And I don't know if it's overreaction to the market of how fast things have sold, or if it's just the fact that all the breweries that we're talking about have so much more brewing power now, as far as volume is concerned, that they're still making the same number of batches, just the batches are exponentially.
Yeah. It's just share a can earlier this year.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, but I'd like to. That could be another topic for another show because of the fact that like Pumpkinator, you could see that everywhere this year.
Like, the 2015 one?
The 2015 one. You could see it on shelves.
And 2015 was good, too.
Oh, it was. When they changed all those ingredients, it was delicious. But 2015, you could find it well into March.
Really?
Yeah, which was...
But the 2014 one was, like, gone right away, right?
2014, 2013, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think as craft beer grows, all these limited releases become more popular and wider.
Mm. Well, and not only that, but breweries just in general, it's just like whiskey makers. They get more popular. They get they get larger tanks. So liquid capacity. You know, it's just natural cycle of business. You just grow.
Mm-hmm. Real quick note, I'd like to wish St. Arnold's happy 22nd birthday.
Oh yeah, that's our anniversary this weekend. Happy birthday, St. Arnold's.
Yes, that brewery can legally officially have a drink with us.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, last year.
Last year.
But no, happy birthday to them. We wish we were at the party, but I got lazy and didn't get tickets.
I'm kind of glad that we're not there because there's no way we'd be able to record. Literally no way. Now I know. For those of y'all, for those people who can't make it out to St. Arnold's this weekend, I think it's either this weekend or next weekend. Nobby is doing a 22 tap takeover. It's all of the
next weekend is next the 18th, weekend. Yeah, sadly, because Ryan Dre and myself are part of Spacey Nerd, which Breathe and Booze Out is the
our sister podcast.
We're going to be out there, but we would like to invite you to if you are going to Comic Palooza in Houston. We are going to throw a panel about the internet. We're going to have a live podcast and also a party at Neil's.
It's going to be the only panel that ends the party, you guys.
Yeah, we're going to head over to Neil's right after our panel.
Yes.
But if you don't attend Comic Palooza at all, you can still come out to Neil's bar for the party on Friday. Actually, St. Arnold's will be at our party.
Yep, St. Arnold's and Spindletap.
Spindletap.
Yeah, Spindletap will be there. But... yeah, come out and hang out at Neil's bar. Eric might show up, maybe, I don't know. No, he won't.
That's Father's Day weekend. If I leave the house, yeah, that's because I'm going.
Yeah, it's gonna be your first Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day! Happy Father's Day. Thank you. Thank you.
Kanpai. Kanpai. Yeah, you could come and meet Drea and take selfies with her for $5.
I'm gonna get pretty trashed. So, yes, give me money.
Or drinks. I was going to say $5 is too cheap.
Yeah. No, just okay, give me
$15
money
per self, $20 per selfie for Drea.
$20 per selfie.
Or a drink.
Or a drink. Buy me a drink. Just buy me a drink. Yeah. It'll be nice.
We're going to have lots of fun. You guys have lots of stuff planned, so please be there. It's going to be awesome.
Well, guys, y'all enjoy Comic Palooza next weekend? Yep. That sounds like a blast.
So, if you notice that we abruptly pause, it's because I pressed the pause button on here. We had a choice between the Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo.
By Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Sorry. Yeah. it's by Stone Cold Steve Austin. Really, really great beer. I've had one of them before. I was saving the other one, but these heathens said that they'd rather go for something else.
I'm feeling
we left it to Drea.
I'm feeling really nice.
I should drink Goldberg's beer. I'm kidding. Wrestling jokes, guys.
So... this is actually Moody Tongue IPA. Moody Tongue Caramelized Chocolate Churro Baltic Porter. Now, before we get into Moody Tongue, the head brewmaster on there is actually a Michelin star chef.
Yeah, he Michelin 3-star chef.
Three-star.
Yeah. Holy Michelin shit. 3-star chef. Trained at the Culinary Institute of America. He also he's also a James Beard trained chef, which is like basically getting your doctorate in culinary.
Holy shit.
And his actual like culinary background includes multiple stops, including a tour at Thomas Keller's Per Se in New York, which in monetary terms, Per Se is $500 a couple.
Wow.
Wow.
His first cousin is from the Bel Air area of Houston.
Oh, okay.
And they moved to... they both...
White Bel Air or Chinese Bel Air? Vietnamese Bel Air.
Because there's two different ones. There's a big difference.
I didn't think about that. I should, more Meyerland Brazewood.
Okay, White Bel Air.
White Bel Air. We're going to do
the,
that.
The Fresh Prince of Bel Air area.
We're going to do that show.
So, Moody Tongue just moved to Texas.
Yeah, they're actually only available in 4 cities.
Wow.
Nice. Chicago, New York City, Las Vegas, and Houston.
There we go. We're lucky enough to have them. I've had the sliced Nectarine IPA. It is gorgeous. Like, I love it. I want to try the Saison soon, the lemongrass.
I have had that Saison. That Saison can just deliver me from evil whenever it wants. It is
I think we're
awesome.
Actually, after we record this, we're going to go hunt for that Saison. And
y'all, I can't drive right now.
I'll drive your vehicle.
No, you're not.
You're not.
Specs off of Bay Area.
Actually, I'd like to give a little shout out to Beers Looking at You, which is right here on Highway 3 in Clear Lake. You can just take singles of whatever. They'll charge you for it. It's really cheap. You know, if you want to just try something,
yeah,
it's really good for that.
Cool.
I was wanting to get Drea's like immediate reaction because she was the one who's like, oh, I'm Mexican, so I love churros.
Shut up. I was actually thinking about getting a churro this morning.
She just tried it.
Yes. All right, Drea, what's your verdict?
It's actually really tasty.
Bazinga!
It's
I'll
really
take it.
Fucking tasty.
Zimbabwe! Oingo boingo!
No, but it's actually a really tasty beer. I really like really bold flavors, and ooh. I think this one has a really, really particular bold flavor to it.
Oh, that salty porter taste, yeah.
It's not...
this is a porter that's actually lagered. So they actually ferment this with lager yeast, not ale yeast.
Oh.
The big thing about Moody Tongue is that they call themselves a culinary brewery.
Mm-hmm.
It's beers that are meant to be drank with food. Like, you can drink them alone, but you're not going to get, like, the full experience without pairing it with something.
So what should you pair this with?
Cheese.
You know what? I'm going to have to make a visit to Moody Tongue.
Asabuco.
Ooh, Asabuco. Do you have cheese?
Cheese, Asabuco, not cheddar, something more like a brie if you have it.
Gouda
would work.
Gouda, all right.
That's all very right. Gouda.
Very Gouda, okay.
I'm going to have to make a stop at a Moody Tongue brewery because I'm going to Chicago.
They're in the suburb of Pilsen.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the two gentlemen that run it, they're just fabulous people. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really down to earth, really really easygoing. They're just they're like the quintessential great beer folk.
I'm definitely gonna have to stop there because I'm going there in like November.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, they're gonna close in November. Sorry.
Yeah, they're closed in November.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, that's so unfortunate. That's terrible.
No, see the I've actually struggled because this is one of Moody Tongue is one of the breweries that I represent, and it's a I've had a hard time over the past couple of weeks trying to really like describe them as a brewery without saying the following, because and when I said this to when I said this to the guys, they actually agreed, they absolutely agreed with me that they are not your traditional craft brewery.
Oh god, sorry, we tried the Gouda with this and it's so good.
Oh my god, all right, get the fuck out of town. Oh my god.
So Moody Tongue doesn't make 25 different beers, they make 5.
Okay.
And outside of the IPA, the Saison, and the Porter, which are currently available in Houston, they also make a Black Truffle Pilsner, which comes out. Actually, they make 6. So they added one this year. They make a Black Truffle Pilsner, which comes out in the winter. They make a Applewood Smoked Golden Lager, and they also make a Chocolate Bourbon Barrel Barley Wine.
Barley Wine.
That sounds like
that one
heaven.
Just released up in Chicago over the past month. After talking about it here in town, while Jared and Jeremy were in town, they're actually thinking about putting another batch in to barrels so that we can have it for Houston for Christmas time. Mm. And if we get that, you will not see me for a week or two because I'm going to probably be hammered.
And I love barley wines. Your house.
I absolutely love two styles. I love barley wines. I love old ales. So just absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
But the easiest way to describe Moody Tongue is with one sentence is very simple. They are a boutique winery masquerading as a craft brewery. And the reason why I say that is that they're not making 25 different beers. They're making 3 beers right now really, really well.
Yeah.
And that's what really high quality, high end boutique wineries do. They have 4 or 5 wines, and that's all they focus on. So they're not making a gigantic bourbon barrel stout. They're not making, you know, random West Coast 11% triple IPA infused with fruit and the souls of small children. I mean, it's they're not going out of their way to create something that would break the mold of what they want to do. They are a craft brewery that is in its second year of existence. They were rated last year coming out of 2015 as the number 4 new craft brewery in the nation by Rate Beer.
Wow.
And they've only been open since 2014. And all they're doing is just focusing on consistency and quality and just everything that is right and good about beer.
And it shows. Like, I was really impressed by the Sliced Nectaring IPA. I mean, I've had peach IPA and things like that, but that sliced touch, how you cut an IPA, or how you cut a fruit, really matters when of what taste you get.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that. Like, I'm really excited to try their Lemongrass Saison after this, because I've tried the IPA, I've tried the and now I've tried the porter. Bring on the saison.
The saison is so good. It is dry. It's citric. It's acidic. It is just everything you love about summertime.
All right. Well, that's gonna probably do it for us. We've had the beer camp. We've had some Toki, and then we've had Moody Tongue's chocolate.
Which I want to pass out after eating some of that cheese and that. That drinking that beer, I have to close my eyes and let my sense of taste just like overcome me.
It's like overwhelming.
It's like overwhelming, delicious. It's like bliss. Like, I don't want any of my senses to ruin that taste.
What we'll do for a show coming up soon? I'll grab 2 wines, 2 whiskeys, and 2 beers, and I'll grab 6 different cheeses. I'll put you in a coma.
All right.
Sounds good.
We've yet to do wine in this show, so we only have to do wine.
Sounds good. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for listening. And as we say on the SCN podcast, good night, Space City.
Good night, Space.